The first hero that we approach in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Faith Hall of Fame is Abel. In Hebrews 11 and verse 4, the Bible reads, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks." Now, to understand why Abel is a hero of faith, it is important for us to study Genesis chapter 4, the account of Abel, and we do not get to know much about Abel. He was the second-born son of Adam and Eve. He was a keeper of the sheep, the Bible tells us. There is only one event in Abel's life that is recorded on the pages of Scripture, and it is this same event that brings about his death. When we study about Abel, we usually also study about his brother Cain. It is really difficult to separate the two, but they are such a stark contrast of each other. The writer of Hebrews only mentions Cain as a comparison. The faith of Abel is the focus of Hebrews chapter 11. The writer does not say, by a lack of faith, Cain offered to God an inferior sacrifice and then killed his brother Abel. No, in Hebrews 11, the writer focuses on what Abel did that was right. The writer begins by speaking about Abel's act of worship. He says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Abel's worship was accepted by God, but Cain's was not. What an interesting beginning, not only to the heroes of faith, but to the Genesis record with one of the earliest judgments of God. We live in a time when the religious world teaches all that matters is that we worship God. They claim it does not matter how we worship God, but that we just need to worship, each in their own way. But let us remember that Cain is not an unbeliever. He is not a heathen. In fact, he had spoken with God, and God spoke to him, as we see in Genesis chapter 4. He believed in God. So what was the problem for Cain, and why the praise for Abel? Obviously, how we worship God does matter. This notion that we can worship God however we choose, however we like, however we prefer, is simply wrong if we're seeking God's approval. If this were true, then Cain's worship would have been acceptable to God as well. Abel knew that how we worship God matters. Therefore, Abel was able to follow what God had prescribed for worship. Cain, however, did not. Cain was upset that his worship was not accepted, but God's response was quite simple. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, we read, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" God is saying this to Cain. And he goes on to say, "And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." True trust in God means that I worship God His way, not my way. Abel trusted that God wanted the sacrifice offered the way that God said. Cain did not trust God in that. Cain trusted in himself, thinking that his way was just as good. We cannot have this arrogance before God and please Him. One aspect that we see Abel doing is giving his best to the Lord. Abel brought the firstborn of the flock and the fat portions. These were considered the very best by the Lord. But there's another statement in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, made by the inspired writer, that tells us more about Abel. Notice the writer tells us that it was through his faithful offering that God commended Abel as righteous. God accepted Abel's gifts. The writer prompting us to look deeper into the life of Abel. Abel's life was more than simply performing a faithful offering to God. Faithful worship is a product of faithful living. Otherwise, our worship is just hypocritical. My worship to the Lord will not be found acceptable to God, and it will not be commended by Him if my life is not in keeping with His will. It is outrageous to believe that we can live a life of sin and rebellion to God Monday through Saturday and show up for Sunday worship service, and somehow our worship is going to please the Lord. Go up to him like a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, reading through verse 24. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying that we need to think about how we are living before we think about making a proper act of worship to God. If we are aware of our sins and offenses, we must first take care of those things and then worship God. We cannot think that God accepts our worship if our lives reflect rebellion towards His word, if it reflects worldliness instead of godliness. The writer of Hebrews concludes this verse by stating that even though Abel is dead, he still speaks. Do you think that Abel knew that his life would be recorded as a legacy of faith? Do you think that he knew that thousands of years later, his life of faith would still be remembered and used as a teaching tool to the Hebrew Christians? But faithfulness does leave a legacy. Abel's faith still speaks to us even today as we examine his faithfulness. What a spiritual legacy he left. What spiritual legacy are we leaving? Will we be remembered for our work of faithfulness as we serve the Lord? Will we have someone who our lives made an impact on for good? Will you be someone who followed up with the spiritually sick? Will you be someone who helped the physically ailing? Will you be one who was hospitable and helpful to others? The writer of Hebrews did not say, without faith, it is difficult to please God. I think we often treat the writer's words this way. It's not simply difficult to be pleasing to God if we do not have faith. It's impossible, is what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not possible that we please Him without faith, an active faith. How do I not give up? Think about the ripple effect of your life. Imagine a calm body of water, and when you drop a rock into the water, it creates ripples that spread outward from the point of impact. The initial splash is powerful and noticeable, but the ripples extend far beyond that initial impact. Ever-widening ripples spreading across the surface of the water. The rock is the person being remembered. It's like that rock. The initial impact their life made, their presence, their personality, were like the initial splash, making a significant impact on those closest to them, such as family, friends, and colleagues. Now the ripples is their influence, and it extends beyond the initial impact. Just as ripples spread outward, their kindness, teachings, actions, and memories have reached far beyond their immediate circle. The ripples represent their circle of influence, touching lives that they may not have even known. Each life touched created its own ripple, continuing the impact of their life. And it's a lasting legacy. Even though the rock has settled, the ripples continue to move, showing that the impact of the person's life will continue long after they're gone, long after their passing. Their legacy lives on in the lives they touched and the ripples that they created. This illustration should remind us that every life, regardless of how small it seems, has a ripple effect. Remember the person being honored, not just for the rock they were, but for the beautiful and far-reaching ripples that they created in the lives of so many. What kind of legacy will we leave behind? In Hebrews chapter 12, the next chapter, in verses 22 through 24, we read, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." The blood of Abel and the blood of Jesus are compared. Their blood that was shed is pictured as speaking out, crying out. The blood of Abel cried out, "Justice must be satisfied. Bring vengeance." The blood of Jesus, though, superior, cries out, "Justice has been satisfied. Bring mercy." The blood of Jesus speaks of better things. The blood of Jesus permits forgiveness and opens the door of the celestial city, heaven, where Christians have been invited to enter in as eternal guests. We must never forget that all Abel's blood could say as it fell to the ground was but the shadow of what that more glorious substance of which the blood of Jesus assures us. Jesus' blood did not just typify atonement, it offered atonement, complete atonement. He was not the representative of sacrifice. He was the great sacrifice itself. Inasmuch as the substance must always excel the shadow, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of better things than that of Abel. Remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks." If you're not a child of God, think about what the Bible says we need to do in order to be saved. We need to believe it. "Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. We need to believe the Word of God with all our heart, to trust it, to believe that what it tells us is what we need to do, nothing more, nothing less. We need to repent of our sins, turn away from our sins. It matters how we live before God. We're to be converted to Christ. That means leaving a life of sin and rebellion to God and being obedient to Him. Godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. We need to be willing to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, and then be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of our sins. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then live faithful unto death, worshiping Him faithfully." You can become a child of God this very day and be pleasing to Him and have reserved for you in heaven a place to live eternally with God. This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist for the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin. We invite you to come and to visit us and to study God's Word with us. We would love to have you. Thank you for listening to this radio program.